You know, I'm thankful that it's the Lord's desire to meet with us, to come down and show us things that will draw us closer to Him. The thought that I have that I want to share with us today is, if I could put a title to it, it would be Unstop the Well. You know, a well does not do you much good if it's stopped up, if you're not able to get any water from it. And I'd like to look at a story in Genesis, the 26th chapter. This tells us there was a famine in the land. Isaac is facing some trouble with a famine. He's going to have to make a move. And if you read this chapter of Genesis 26, it talks to us, he's moving to another land right now, and he comes into a land that his father has been in before. Abraham has been in this land before, and Abraham dug some wells, and those wells were very beneficial. You know, a piece of property is no good to you if you cannot get any water to it. It's no good for crops, it's no good for cattle, it's no good for humans. And he finds that when he got back, I just kind of in my mind, the anticipation he had, I know we're going back to Dad's property again, and I know where there's some good wells. As soon as we can get there, our animals that we're taking with us will be able to get water. He gets there and he finds there's a problem. Those wells have been stopped up. An enemy has come by, and everywhere there was a good water supply, they filled it back in again. They stopped it up. Why would anybody, why would anybody want to stop up a well that is valuable to others? The Philistines have stopped it up, and you know, where there's no water, there's no need to stay there. So the Philistines weren't going to be staying there needing it, so they ruined it for anybody else that would stay there. So a way for keeping others from being able to enjoy the benefits of it. What I want us to think about today is this verse in Isaiah 12 and 3. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Is it possible for those wells to get stopped up? And how does that go about? In Genesis, the 26th chapter, and in the 18th verse, Isaac did something about it. He's in this land. Instead of just saying, you know what, there's no need of staying here, I'm going on somewhere else. Instead, he dug those wells out again. So he recognized, he remembered, you know what, right here by these trees, I remember there used to be a well right here. There's nothing but dirt now, but I know there was a good well here. And I'm going to dig it out again. I'm not going to go off to some place that I don't know if there's even water to be had. I'm going to dig up the well that is just, it's just stopped up. I need to just unstop it. So I look at this. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. God is interested in us being able to have living water. You remember when Jesus talked to the woman at the well? She, you know how valuable that well was for that village? She was coming from a village to this well to get water. That was their source of water for them. And you remember when he went to talking to her about he had some water that he could give her? She said, Jacob, our father Jacob, dug this well for us. You know how many hundreds of years that had been before when Jacob dug that well? And it has supplied those people for all of that time. A well was very valuable then. Those were temporal things. But you know what? For a long time, we have had some wells of salvation that were very valuable to us. There is a verse that says in Proverbs 22 and 28, don't remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. Now, if I were to look back to Isaac, there was had to have been some kind of landmarks that Abraham had. Here's a well. Some way Isaac was able to recognize temporally, this is the place where it was. I'm going to dig here again. For us each one today, it's possible for the wells of our relationship with God to get stopped up. But what we want to do always is recognize where I can go back to the source to dig it out again. Remove not the ancient landmarks. There's another verse over in Jeremiah. Jeremiah in the 6th chapter and in the 16th verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you will find rest to your soul. So these people would be able to recognize back here there was a good way to be able to follow in. And he's saying, once again, you ask for the old paths, those that you know were valuable, those where you saw blessings flowing in the past. Go back to those again. Dig it out if you need to. I don't know how many of you were here in 2010. Brother Marty Clevenger came here and held a meeting. He started the very first message with that verse, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And he held a week's meeting, and each night he would say, let me tell you about another one of the wells of salvation. And it was to where about after night number three of the meeting, we would go home and be thinking, I wonder what the next well is going to be that he will talk about. But I want to share with you some of that message. Because we're not talking about being able to go buy a piece of property here and see if you can have a good well on it. I'm talking about our experience, our relationship with God, and the things that can kind of cause the flow to back off and maybe even stop completely. But yet we can go back and dig it out again. Here are some of the wells that he talked about in his meeting. A well of hope. You ever have a time when you have so much difficulty coming in your life that hope starts getting stopped up? It doesn't flow as much as it did when everything was going well. A well of endurance. I can keep on pressing on even when trouble is coming to me. I won't let that well get stopped up. My endurance by God's help will be consistent. A well of purpose. Having a purpose in my life, a direction that I'm going, and I plan to make it there. A well of inspiration. A well of grace. You know where the scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's like this well has an abundant supply. It's ready to supply all the grace we need for any trouble that will come into our life. But you know, sometime we can let that well get kind of stopped up to where we don't obtain the grace that we needed to get. Isaac went out, and when he realized that these were diminishing in his life, they were getting stopped up, his was completely stopped up. He dug them back out again and had water for his animals and his flocks. For us today, I can go back to each one of these wells that he talked about. I look at the well of hope. Where in the scripture would you be able to dig again that well of hope, the hope that you had before? We can have difficulties come into our life. You remember where Paul, it says that after so many days of not even able to see sunshine, when they were out on the sea in that storm, darkness for days and they were tossed. What did he say? When all hope was gone, that we should be saved. That would be a terrible place to come to. But you know what? A lot of people today lose their hope, knowing that something better is out ahead for me. But I was thinking of a verse in Psalms 42 and 6. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? You know, every one of us at some time in our life hope can be diminished because of things that's happening. And then I have to ask myself, why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. You know, if I put my hope in temporal things, if I put my hope in money that I'm saving up for retirement, if that's gone, my hope is gone. But this one is saying, don't let yourself be cast down. Put your hope in God. What about the well of endurance? You know, I can start out running well in the Christian race. Difficulties can come to me. You think about how many things happened to Apostle Paul. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten with rods. You know, he needed his well of endurance to keep flowing strong, to be able to let him know it's better for you out ahead. Some of the verses I thought about that. He that endureth to the end will be saved. I need to not let my well of endurance get stopped up, but to realize, you know what? If I will endure to the end, I'll be saved. Another one says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So I think about that for us today. We're going to have difficulties come into our life. Things where the devil says, you know what? You might as well just stop. There's no need to keep on living for God. I want to have that wells of salvation. It's not just one thing. It's many, many things. Here's another one. He preached on a well of contentment. How is your well of contentment today? Paul said, with all the things that was happening in his life, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned I'm abounding or if I'm abased, if I'm having troubles come into my life. How do you have this well of salvation, of contentment, to be flowing strong when you have trouble in your life and you can be contented? How was it that Daniel seemed to be contented when he heard the news that if you pray again, you're going to be thrown into the lion's den? His contentment came from something more than money, from who he knew. You know, the king loved Daniel. He did not realize what he was doing. You know, Daniel did not put his stock in what the king thought about it. What he did was his contentment came from God's in control of this. He's going to take care of it. And for us, each one in our life, we don't know what in 2025 is going to happen in our life. But Lord, help me to learn. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The world will tell you great gain is get yourself a pile of money by retirement time. The scripture tells us if you can put godliness with contentment, those two put together will be great gain in our life. And then there was one more. This one probably is real valuable. It's easy to get stopped up. God has grace for us for any problem that can come into our life. You remember Apostle Paul had a trouble where he said, I had this thorn in the flesh and I wanted it gone. And I asked the Lord 3 times to take it away from me, and he came back with an answer. What was his answer? My grace is sufficient for you. Not going to heal you. I'm not going to give you the answer that you wanted. But I tell you what, there's a well that is bubbling up. It will run freely. It's all the grace that you need. What is grace? To me, grace is divine power from God that's available for me in any trouble, if I will have access to it. Come boldly to the throne of grace. But then there was another verse that said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. The grace is wanting to flow. It's desiring to meet every need that I have. But I can do things that stops it up, that causes it not to flow with all that I need. So always remember, in the past, I remember how I had grace for these kind of troubles that I'm facing. And I'm going to go back there and I'm going to dig it out again because God has it for me. So I want to look at somebody. King David had a well. It was a relationship with God. We see the beauty of that relationship when we read Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You ever had that kind of an experience in your life? Everything is going so well for me. I just love living for the Lord. it's just flowing. The well of my relationship with God is flowing so well. You know, that verse went on down in the places when the enemy is coming in. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he's with me. You know, that was a wonderful place. He had, to me, if I could vision a well, the water was just flowing for him. But you know what? We've got to keep the water flowing. We can stop up the well. We can allow the well to be stopped up. The devil wants to do it. And he did it. His sin with Bathsheba stopped up the well of experience that he had. But you know what I love about that? Each one of us here, we can have, if we would be honest with ourselves, we could say, you know what? I used to be contented with the things that God allowed to come into my life, but I'm finding myself frustrated more and more with the things that's happening in my life. You know what the beauty of this message is today? God will help us to unstop the wells again. I am so glad that we're able to see, I'm glad that the story did not end when David gave us Psalms 23, and it's such a beautiful psalm. And then we read about his sin with Bathsheba, and then he did nothing about it until he died. That's not the way it is. Let's look over here at Psalms 51. We get to read and we get to watch him digging the well of his relationship with God, digging it back out again. And I would like for you to think about picturing this physically happening. As we look at Psalms 51, when he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, and blot out my transgression." You know, he wasn't willing to just say, "I'm going to finish it out. I don't mind living bad." Nope, he wanted to go back to the relationship. In my mind this week, I've been able to see David with a shovel. I know where it is. I know where the relationship is. I'm digging it out. Here's one shovel full at a time that I'm dumping out. What did he say? "Wash me. Cleanse me from my sin." It's almost like I'm getting down a little deeper, but I'm going to keep on going until I'm back to that relationship again. What is it? "I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me." You know what? That's an important part to getting back down to the relationship that we need with God, is me acknowledging, here's where I am, Lord. Here's where I allowed something to come in and stop it up. I admit it, and here goes another shovel full to emptying this out. Another shovel. "Create in me a clean heart." Lord, I can remember when I had it back then. I even was able to write Psalms 23 because it was flowing so well. You remember the other place where when he came back with his men to Ziklag, the city where they had been, they had left their families there. When they came back, they saw the enemy had come and they'd stopped up some wells of relationship. What had they done? They had burned the city and they took all of their families away with them. And it said that those men wept till they had no more power to weep. You ever have something happen in your life and it just overwhelms you? Maybe you weep until you have no more power to weep. But you know what? Some of those men resorted to something. They said, "I tell you what, we need to stone David. If he would have been a better leader, we wouldn't have had this happen, that our families have been taken hostage." You know what, at that time, what David did? At that time, he had a relationship with God to where it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. In a very difficult time, David was now in a place to where he could reach back in and get some living water out to sustain him. And the same thing can happen for us today. And then he says in 51 and 12, "Restore unto me." You know, it's almost like he's almost to it. The dirt's starting to get wet. I'm almost there. "Restore unto me the joy." You know, I don't want just salvation and it's a big chore. I want the joy that came from it. The water that is flowing, it's fresh water. You know, there's a verse that says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water." How would you like to be at a place and you get a choice? You can come to this fountain that is flowing from down inside the earth. It's clean, it's fresh, it's cold. You can drink from it. Or there's another one over here that is a cistern. I used to live in Louisiana, and they had cisterns. What they are is somebody has made a big tank, and they will catch rainwater. Sometimes they will run a trough from the roof, catch rainwater, and they will use it for the house. I would much rather have, I've looked in some of those cisterns sometime. It's about full of water, and you will see frogs jumping around in it. You will see things that I really wouldn't want to take a bath with that water. You get that choice, or you get this choice. And to me, that's where we are today for us. Sometimes I can choose my own way, because a verse says every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Sometimes I will dig my own cistern. I will come up with my own way to work out the problems, when all along the Lord has got living water for me to be able to have. You know, I am so thankful that in David's experience, we watched him dig that well out to where relationship was restored between him and God. That is so valuable. Here's one of the verses that he tells us that relationship is restored. Psalms 86 and 5. There are a lot of places where we can read where David, the well was flowing very good between him and the Lord again. And I am glad for that. In this one, 86 and 5, "For thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." He had an experience where that was available for him, and it's available for each of us today. I think of the verse that says, "Him that cometh to me," this is Jesus talking, "the one that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." You know, when we come to a place where we realize, you know what? I had something flowing in my life with the Lord before. I had a relationship that was, I was very close to the Lord. Something has caused that to diminish. You know, the first thing I've got to do is I've got to want it back. We've heard these songs, "I'll never go back," but we're going to have a desire. You know what? I'm going to have this relationship back with God. You know, some of the things that can stop up our relationship, it's told to us in 1 John 2, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You know, we're surrounded by the world today. I will have to go to work tomorrow, and I work right amongst the world. But what it's saying is, don't have a love for it. And we can be in the world. You know, Jesus didn't pray that he would take us out of the world. He said, "What I'm praying for is that you will keep them from the evils that are in it." He has a desire for us to be able to work around the world, to be around the world, and yet not have a love for the things that are going on. You look at the wells that people have in the world today, a well of entertainment. They will have that flowing, "I've got to have something going all the time." Some will have, they've got to have something visually going all the time. Some will have a television in their home that runs 24 hours a day. "I've got to have something," or music playing constantly. You know, to the Christian, when the well is flowing free, just quiet time is wonderful. To be able to stop, we have a song that says, "Alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me." You know, the world does not like quietness because you start thinking. So we will try to crowd out that quietness. To us, when I start needing something to feed me and keep me going, I need to check. Wait a minute. Do I still love that quietness? It says, "Alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. All nature smiles so soft and sweet. I'm thinking, Lord, of thee. Thinking of thee, O Lord, of thee, musing on things above." You know what? That well is flowing very well in my relationship with the Lord at that time. The first step that I need to take in keeping my well clear is taking responsibility. Adam and Eve, when they failed, and the Lord came to them and asked Adam first, What was that? Did Adam say, yes, Lord, it was me, I'm sorry? No, it was that woman that you gave me. You know, there is a natural tendency for me when my relationship is not what it should be with the Lord that I can blame it on somebody else. If somebody else had treated me better, I would come to church. You know, some people quit coming to church because somebody didn't treat them right. You know, the well only gets stopped up more when that happens. But for me to acknowledge, you know what, Lord, it's between me and you. I want to keep this relationship going. It says in Proverbs 28 and 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. You remember with King Saul in 1 Samuel 15, when he brought back some of the things after he was told to kill everything, you know what he did? He shifted blame to somebody else. Almost as if, don't even think I'm the one that did it. He shifted it as the people that did it. He that confesseth and forsaketh will have mercy. For me out in the future, even if it's nothing sinful, it's just, you know, my relationship with the Lord is not what it used to be. I want it back. I'm going to dig those wells out again. Want to be able to have it. You know, I look at stories and I look at Solomon's well of relationship with God. It was flowing so well that God could talk to Solomon and say, Solomon, you ask me whatever you want and I'll give it to you. That's a well of relationship that is really flowing well. But you know what? We have to maintain it. It's not enough that I say I've got a good relationship with God today. Tomorrow, I'm going to have to watch it. Because, you know, it could be just, if we thought of it temporally, it could be just a few leaves blow in it at first, but I can still dip in and get water and pull the trash out of it. But, you know, if it keeps on going after a while, it stops it up. And that can happen in our life. God had a relationship with Solomon. You know, when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, she had heard some things and she didn't believe it could be as good as it was. And you know what she did after seeing Solomon? She said, the half has never been told. She watched his relationship with God. She watched his relationship with the others around him and saw there was something very special to that. But then a few years passes by, and Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, his well of relationship got stopped up. And it tells us he loved many strange women. Not that they were strange looking. No, they loved other gods, and he went after those gods. There's a lesson in this for me today. With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation, if I am willing to maintain it. The well can flow very freely for me today, tomorrow, and every day out in the future. But I have got to do the maintenance of going back to the Lord and saying, remember in Psalms 139, 23, and 24, it's me coming to the Lord and saying, search me, O God, know my heart, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, something that could start stopping up my relationship with God. I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. Here is someone I would like for my testimony to be like this person's. I believe this person, and they don't even give a name for it because I believe it's available for every one of us. It's in Psalms 1 and 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but he's doing something. He's keeping his well clear. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You know what? If David had kept his well flowing well of his relationship with God, this man said his delight was in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditated day and night. If David had done that, to where when he stepped out on his roof and saw Bathsheba, his mind had been dwelling on spiritual things, and some scripture could come back to him to warn him, he could have fled. You know, we have spiritual weapons available to us. It says when the enemy will come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. How that happens? What does the verse say in Psalms 119? Thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. These children today that are saying their memory verses and we want them to remember them, there's a reason for that. We want them to hide it in their heart that one day when the devil comes along with a temptation, that scripture will also come up to them. And we don't want it to be just to the children. We want it to be to us also. Because I tell you, there's a lot of things today that will stop up our relationship with God. And one of them is our cell phone. I could get up here and preach and say, if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to get rid of your cell phone. You know what? I can't do that. Because that cell phone can also help me make heaven my home. I have on my phone access. I remember my grandfather was a minister. And he had a satchel with study material in that satchel. There was a concordance about this big. There was a commentary. There was a songbook. There was all those things that he would pack around with him if he wanted to study while he's traveling. You know what? I have every one of those things on my phone. I can look in the concordance, the commentary, the Bible. I can look at my songbook. All those things are available to me if I want the well to keep flowing freely of my relationship with God. You know, there's some other things, and I don't want us to think it's just sinful things that I could look at that would stop up the well. I have on my phone on Sunday morning as I'm coming to church. I don't know why it does it on Sunday morning. But on Sunday morning, my phone will make a little ding, and I look at it, and it says, you have been on your phone this many minutes this past week. You have been this much more or this much less than the last week. And to me, that's just a little reminder to me. Dan, be real careful that you make sure you're not spending too much time on your phone. I want to tell you, Facebook, we can say it's nothing sinful, or YouTube, or all those other things. But what it does is I have so many hours in a day to be able to have a weapon in my mind to combat the enemy that wants to stop up the wells of salvation that I have. Facebook won't help me in being able to have it. Am I saying it's wrong? No. What I'm saying is be on guard in your life of being able to recognize too much of this thing can allow my relationship with God to be stopped up. You know, I love to be able to get on my phone whenever I cannot figure how to fix my window on my car. All I have to do is ask the question, and somebody will come on and they will tell me, here's exactly how to do it. There are many benefits that my phone can give me. There's a song that we sing, My Soul Be On Thy Guard. There are a lot of things that the devil will use out in the future to try to stop up the well of our relationship with God. When God came to Adam, he asked him one question. Where art thou? Why are you needing to hide from me? You know what? I want to be able to have a clear relationship that I love it when God comes along to talk to me. So I would like for us to close with a song. Sometimes we sing this song and we think about it as being for the sinner. And it is. But as we sing this song today, I'd like for us to think about, in my own life, how is my relationship with God today? And it's not even good enough for me to say, oh, I have a wonderful relationship. I pray to him and I talk to him and I read my Bible. But I want, there's a verse that says, not he that commendeth himself is approved, but it's whom the Lord commendeth is approved. I want the Lord to be able to take a look at my life and to examine it and tell me if I need to make some changes. Because the relationship, a close relationship, is available for every one of us in 2025 when the world is crowding around us. When people cannot figure out transgender, we had weddings this past couple days that told us when God said he made them male and female. You know, pretty simple. When the world is crowding around us with their beliefs, that we be able to walk right through it and keep a relationship with God. So I want us to look at a song, number 358. This one is, Just As I Am Today. How is my well of salvation? That's a plural term. My contentment can be very good, but maybe my endurance is stopping up. Maybe my hope is getting dim. All of those things, I can go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you this one as well, but I'm not doing so good in this one. Help me to know how to clean it out. Just as I am without one plea, I'm not going to justify myself. You know, I'm so glad that David did not justify himself. When Nathan came to him, he said, thou art the man. He accepted it and he made the changes. I wish I could say that for Solomon. We never see Solomon with a prayer of repentance. May I be willing at any time when the Lord shows me, Dan, there's a place that's stopping up your experience with me, that I will unstop it. This one, just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. That doesn't have to be sin. That can be just say, Lord, I realize there's some things stopping up in my life, and I want to have a closer relationship with you. Let's sing this song. And not just for today, but out in the future. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, I'd like for you to search me. I want to be able to have, we're going to need a close relationship with God in the day and time that we're living in to be able to make heaven our home. I desire your prayers. Maybe we could stand and sing number 358.